So we want to start off by reading the Word of God, because we are a church that believes in the Word of God. We do not compromise, like what we've been learning about in the churches of Revelation. We will not forsake our first love. Even if we are persecuted, we will persevere, and we will not compromise. So today, I mean, we're not going to talk too much. I feel like Holy Spirit has already done so much work in our hearts. Today is kind of like, I walked in here a little bit later than usual, and I just felt like a lot of excitement. You know, there's Tony living it up with the ladies in the kitchen back there this morning. You know, everybody was greeting each other, and it was, the sound people were doing their thing, and the worship team was gathering together. It just felt really excited, just a lot of unity. And today I kind of feel like, you know, we've been running a good race. And I don't know if you've ever ran before in a marathon. I did 2 or 3 years ago. And they had, while I was running, not very fast, I was like, what, 70th place or something. But while I was, Ryan was third. While I was running, they had kids at different places cheering you on. Mm-hmm. Saying, come on, keep going, yeah, you can do it. And they're holding signs, and that's kind of what I feel like today is. And even this season right now. Jesus is cheering us on.
Come on.
Keep on. Keep running. Ricardo keeps talking to that. He keeps saying, the beginning's important, but we need to finish well. That's what matters. Doesn't matter when you began. You know the parable. All the different people that went to work in the vineyard, some in the morning, some in the afternoon, some at night. Doesn't matter when you begin. The man on the cross, before he breathed his last breath, gave his life to Jesus. What matters is the end. We've been learning in Revelation, it always ends with, and if you, those that overcome, mm-hmm. will be rewarded. So if we have ears, let us hear. So today, that's what today is about. We just want to recap a little bit of the Word of God that we talked about yesterday. But this is a call to persevere. And we start off with Hebrews 10. Josh, you have that for me. Let's start off with, I'm going to read the Word.
Come on.
And just break it down very quickly before we go eat. Do you have that for me? Hebrews 10, verse 19, in the NIV version.
We don't have.
Or we can do the NLT. That's fine. Yeah. No. That's fine. That's fine. We can do NLT. Yeah. Let's read it together. And so, dear brothers and sisters, we can boldly enter heaven's most holy place because of the blood of Jesus. By his death, Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into the most holy place. And since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him, for our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean, and our bodies have been washed with pure water. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm, for God can be trusted to keep his promise. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is near. And then I want you to jump, please, to verse 35. And so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. 36. Patient endurance is what you need now so that you will continue to do God's work. Then you will receive all that He has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith, but I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we are not like those who turn away from God to their own destruction. We are the faithful ones whose souls will be saved.
Amen.
Church, we are redeemed. You are redeemed. You are not forsaken. Mm-hmm. You are not left alone. Right. So many of us have been here from the beginning. Some of us have just joined this church, but we are united. I want to tell you, you are not forsaken. The ups and downs that this church has had, all the things that you guys have done, Keep on. We are not forsaken. God told me to tell you this morning that He loves you.
That's right.
He sees you. He knows you. You are not forsaken. You are not abandoned. You never were. You never will be. We are a small group of believers connected to a huge kingdom. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you might feel isolated. You might feel like you are swimming up against the current by yourself. This world seems to be getting more evil and more evil. But did you know that God's kingdom is ever increasing?
Come on.
His light is shining brighter than ever. Today is a call to persevere. Persevere. And Paul has laid out a roadmap for us. So amazing. He says there are a couple. It's a call to persevere, to not compromise. And Paul gives us a roadmap. Because we have a relationship with God through Jesus, there are four things that He's encouraging us to do. And basically, when you break it down, it's love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself.
Come on.
That's what it is. Look at this in verse 27. The first thing He encourages us to do is to draw near to God. For you to persevere, you need to draw near to God. Continue to do that. Please, today, hear me. This is not a rebuke.
Come on.
This is not a you're not doing enough. This is a call to keep on doing what you are doing.
That's right.
Do not get discouraged. This is not one more thing. Oh, I got to do this on top of everything else. I rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus. This is a call to just keep on, just be faithful. Continue to be faithful. The first thing that is so important for us to persevere is to keep that relationship that we have with Jesus first. It says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. That's our identity. We know that our hearts, our conscience, and our bodies are clean.
That's right.
You can be strong in that. That's your identity. You are clean. Not just your conscience, but your body.
Amen.
Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Keep on keeping your body pure.
That's right.
Keep your relationship with Jesus first of all. So that's the first thing Paul is encouraging us to do. Let us draw near. And all these words are action words. Mm-hmm. Draw near. Come on, draw near. Draw near to me, baby. Come on. Ah. Draw near. Okay. Later. Draw near. Draw near. Okay, it's an action word. You have to draw near.
Action.
However your drawing near is for you and God, do it. Okay? Whatever time, there are different seasons in our life. Some are more busy than others. Some have children. Some don't have children. Some you're by yourself. Some you have a house full of people. There's all kinds of seasons. Whatever you have to do to draw near to God, keep on doing it.
Come on.
Verse 23, the second thing he says is, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess.
That's right.
So keep your eyes on Jesus. What's the word now? Let us hold. Hold unswervingly to what? To the hope. Jesus is hope, right? Those promises that he has given you, hold on to them. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't look at what the world is telling you.
Come on.
For you to persevere, you need to continue to hold on to that hope that he has given you. Don't let what you hear on the news, don't let the decisions that your grandchildren are making that you've been praying for years and years, your kids, your spouse, don't let decisions from other people knock you off of your circle of hope. Like this, you're standing on the rock. But if you're standing on a rock, can you get knocked off the rock? Yeah. Stand on the promises of God. Yep. He is faithful.
Can be trusted.
So for you to persevere, first of all, you want to draw near to God. And second, you want to keep hold of his promises. Look to him. Don't look to the left or the right like Peter did when he drowned while he was walking on water. Keep your eyes fixed on him. And third of all, in verse 24, it says, let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. So for you to persevere, you're loving the Lord your God, mm-hmm. you're keeping him first, and you're loving each other. And that's what verse 24 is about. Consider how we may spur one another on. And the NLT says, let us think of ways to motivate one another. I love that. Think, all right? Spur. And like what we learned yesterday, cowboys wear spurs on their cowboy boots. And when they sit on their horse with just a simple nudge of their foot, the spur can control the horse, make it go left or right, slow down faster. So Paul is encouraging us to think of ways to continue in love, continue in good works. So that's loving your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So all those little things that you do for people, make sure that your priorities are right. And that's one thing that we talked about yesterday. For me, priority is Jesus, my relationship with him, my husband, my children, my church, my neighbors, the world. That's my priorities for my season of life right now. I can't be loving my neighbors well if I'm not taking care of this man first.
Hallelujah.
Right? Right?
Right. Right.
I can't be this nice person to everybody here at church, and when I'm at home, I'm a grouch. And we talked about yesterday how, yeah, home is a safe place. You let down, you know, you're grouchy, you're not as energetic, you just kind of flop around sometimes. It's a safe place. That's okay. That's fine. But at the same time, your family comes first.
Yep.
You have no business loving others if you cannot love your family well.
Amen.
And not just that, but to help each other. So the other day I told Ryan, take out the trash. I had just woken up. I was a little grouchy because the trash hadn't been taken out. And thank the Lord the trash truck hadn't gone yet. And Ryan looked at me. He's like, well, you could have said it a little nicer. You know what? I was a little offended because I'm like, I'm the mom. He's the son. Somebody else should have taken the trash. I don't, you know, just... But
I wasn't home.
We allow owe each other, okay, now my kids are adults pretty much, but we allow each other to call each other out.
That's good.
All right? Yep. What are we doing? We're spurring one another on to love and good works.
Amen.
We talk to them, they talk to us.
Oh, yeah.
Because if we can't love, this is not tight. If we are not living the gospel here, if we're not doing good works for them, why should we be doing good for everybody else? Go ahead.
It says, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and then love your neighbor as you love yourself. So therefore, I want to touch a little bit on loving yourself. Because I find out, a lot of people, they beat themselves up. Mm-hmm. You think you're not pretty enough. You think you're not skinny enough. You think you're not big enough. You think you know, you're too white, you're too black, you're too yellow, you're too purple. You know, whatever you deal with. Guys, love yourself.
Yes.
I mean, we're not talking about worshiping yourself, but you were created, Psalm 139. You were creating one, wonderfully made. Come on.
Yes.
You see, society, you know, something that kills me? The way society, even people with fame, social media, they lift them up. They glorify them. But then when they're done with them, they chew them off and they throw them in the corner. God is not like that. The kingdom is not like that. And I think it's very important for us to understand we can't love others until we learn how to love yourself. Until I can learn how to love myself. You know, God, I am a rock with Jesus. I'm not worshiping myself, but I find my identity in Jesus. I know who I am. I know who I am in Christ. I know I'm nothing without him. I know I'm very super weak without him. I am a grump without him. I can't love her without Jesus. But the more I learn from Jesus, the more I get to love myself, accept myself. And then I can look in the mirror. I know people, they say they don't want to look in the mirror.
Or take pictures.
You know, they don't want their pictures taken. I tell you, that mindset needs to change. You need to accept yourself for who you are. Amen?
Amen. So to persevere, we're drawing near to God. We're holding on to his hope. We are spurring one another on to love and good deeds. Now, spur in the Greek, it means to stir up, to provoke in a good way, okay, in the positive, to entice, to motivate. And then it says in verse 25, let us not give up meeting together. Why would he connect, let us not give up meeting together with spurring one another on to love and good works? It's because we need each other. We need each other to help each other, spur us on to love and good works. We need each other to remember to love. We need each other to remember to keep on doing those good things. That's why we meet together. We meet together to experience the presence of Jesus, but at the same time, we come together so that we're encouraged. It's something that we know, but is it a conviction for you? Or do you stay home when you're tired? I don't know how many times we've been tired. We don't want to come to church. We don't want to go to cell group. Okay? Confession. We don't want to come to church. We don't want to go to cell group. But we know from experience that when we drag our bodies and we obey the word that says, let us not give up meeting together, we drag our bodies into those atmospheres that we know have life, those atmospheres that we know Jesus is going to come. These are not boring religious meetings. I'm not going to drag my body for a religious meeting where I'm dry and then I get there dry and I go home dry.
Yeah.
No, I'm dragging myself to water because I know I need water. I need the living water.
Come on.
I'm desperate for Jesus. That's why we get together. If you're thirsty and you know there's water over there and you're dying in the desert, you're going to do all that you can to drag yourself over there.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But it takes discipline, it takes perseverance, it takes a personal conviction as well. I am going to meet together with the body of Christ, first of all, because that's what the word says. But second of all, I know that's where my life is.
Yep.
That I know that's where I'm going to get motivated to continue to love, to continue to do those good things that God has asked me to do. And it says, don't give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. That means that there are two categories of people, those that are meeting together and those that are in the habit of not meeting together.
Yep.
What category do you fall into? Yes, that's what I wanted. We make a decision. We make a decision. And it says, but instead, it says, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. So when we get together, we encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching, and day is capitalized. What is that day? What is that day? The day that Christ is returning. So is Christ returning?
Yes.
Is he returning sooner than he was yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So all the more get together and encourage one another.
Come on.
Spur one another on into love and good works even more as the day is approaching. And even more for this society. We didn't grow up in a godly society. Many societies have not enjoyed the morality that the United States has had. And this society is under attack, and you know it. A lot of the moral foundations are crumbling. And so we as Christians in America are having to, we are having to deal with stress that we haven't, that other countries have learned how to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
Growing up in Haiti, the society is terrible. Terrible. Just to drive, just to go to the bank is a nightmare. Just to drive to the next town to get groceries is a nightmare. I mean, people are rude. There's no laws for traffic. It's terrible. So when it's time to go to church, you need Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You need the body of believers. Okay, I am here to meet with God because I have had such a frustrating
Can't
week. And I know it's getting like that here in America more and more.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, your jobs, you're just, you know, going to Walmart.
Come on, teacher.
I mean, I went to the mall with Alyssa the other day to look for some clothes. The changing room was filthy. Listen, I remember a day I used to go to the mall. Everything was clean. People were there to help you. Now it's just kind of junky. You know, what's happening? What is happening to our society? So we can either let that discourage us, or we can do what the word says.
Come on.
Drawing near to God, holding on to our hope. Let's not get discouraged. Let's keep on meeting together more and more as the day approaches so that we can continue to love people and continue in those good deeds that he has called us to. And it ends, the next couple of verses talk about if we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received this knowledge, then no sacrifice for sin is left.
That's it. Lost case.
And it goes on to talk about just people that have fallen and they're not obeying what the word of God says. But Paul says in verse 36, he says, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming, and that's Jesus, will come and he won't delay. But my righteous ones, we will live by faith, right?
Amen.
We are the righteous ones. We're going to live by faith.
Yes.
And if he shrinks back, then I will not be pleased with him. Jesus is talking about those of us who want to shrink back, who are not wanting to fully jump into that river. We're cowards. We're shrinking back from the challenges. God says, I will not be pleased with him. But I love verse 39. Paul says, we are not those who shrink back, right? We are not going to compromise. We are not going to stay in discouragement. We are going to keep on loving. We are going to keep on doing those good things that God has called us to do.
Amen.
He says, we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed. So that tells me that if you're a coward and you do not stand your ground, you will be destroyed. But we are not those kinds of people.
Amen.
We are those who believe and we are saved. Oh,
hallelujah.
Yes, so it's a choice, church. It is a choice. It's a choice to persevere. So choose life today. Choose death. Stir up your spirits. Keep doing those things that you know you are called to do for this season. Don't get discouraged.
Yep.
Do not get discouraged by evil. Evil is not stronger. It will not win. Even if your body perishes, it doesn't matter. Your spirit, your soul is going to live forever with Jesus. Do
Amen.
Not get discouraged. Keep on persevering and doing those things that God has called you to do.